Hello, everyone in construction world. This is another episode of Constructive Conversations brought to you by Brown Edwards & Company. I'm your host, Eddie Thompson, out of our Charleston, West Virginia office. Today, we have a pretty special episode as we highlight National Women in Construction Week coming up. We have three guests on here today. We typically only have one, but we have a full panel. The first guest that we have is Carla Brown. She is a director out of our Roanoke office and has over 19 years experience working in construction and in public accounting. Our other two guests, I'll let Carla introduce to everybody. Go ahead, Carla. Let everybody know who we have on today.
Okay. Today we have with us from SL Williams & Company, a third generation asphalt paving and road construction company located in Charlottesville, Virginia. We have Blair Williamson, who is the owner of that company. We also have from Bruce Howard Contracting. They are, a company out of Charles City, Virginia, and they provide commercial services, lots of experience within excavating, grading, utility work, etc. And we have with us Betty Howard. She is the owner of that company.
It's nice to have you both, Blair and Betty, on the show today. I know it's today's, as we talked about, it's a snowy day, so not much else to do other than to sit around and talk on a podcast.
Thank you. So, glad to be here.
Appreciate y'all's time. So just real quick, or doesn't even have to be quick, but could each of you give the audience a little background on yourself, your personal life, and your career? And we could start with you, Carla, actually, if you want to.
Oh, sure. I began in public accounting with a smaller firm in Virginia Beach, Sullivan Andrews and Taylor. And most of our work was contractors and anything construction related in the Hampton Roads Tidewater area. And then in 2013, we relocated to the Roanoke Valley, and I began working at Brown Edwards & Company. And we really enjoy the change of pace from Hampton Roads to the Roanoke Valley, given with our dog and our two kids. It's been a really enjoyable experience here living in Bottetot County.
Excellent. How about yourself, Blair?
Okay, well, I went to Virginia Tech and graduated in the late 80s and with an architecture degree. And went to work as an architect in Richmond for 6 years. And when I, so you have to take a proficiency exam to get certified, which I did, and passed the test, became an architect, and had always wanted to work with my father, who was in the paving business. At the time, he was also a developer. And so I thought, my thought was I would go in and help him on the development side. That was also the late 80s when interest rates went to 18%, and his first-time homebuyer product that he was building, nobody could afford to buy anything. So we ended up not building anything, and he said, if I ever develop anything again, just take me to Stanton and give me a white jacket. So I started on the paving side, and when he called I called him from my architecture office and said, I want to come to work for you. He said, yeah, okay. But I said, well, what would you do here? And I said, well, I guess I'll start, shoveling asphalt, which I did. And that was, and he said, well, I said, well, how much are you going to pay me? And he said, $25,000. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to be so rich. And that was 33 years ago, I guess this year, 34 maybe. So that's, I'm no longer shoveling on a daily basis, but I run the company with a bunch of other very capable guys and girls.
Very good. Go ahead, Betty.
I'm sorry. I was in finance from the time out of high school until I decided to start the construction business. So I got a lot of exposure working there in finance construction. And I had a small son. My husband was working at a bakery. And, of course, we're out here in the county. So back then, there was no social media. The only advertisement that was out there was those little signs you put up for politics, people put up, you could put those up, and there's a little paper out here in the county. That was it. So my husband was well known. His father was a doctor and his brother was a sheriff and all that. So that was my biggest thing. So my son and my husband both have the same name. And people always ask me when I first started it, and, you know, it was the major owner and all, why I named it that. But it got me business. But when I was working in finance and I was able to see the construction company where I thought, okay, I can make a lot more money starting my own business. And it started very small, believe it or not. I mean, there was just grading a driveway, cutting grass. At the time I had a couple family members, they're not with me now, they've passed away, but still do have one of my very first, employees still working with me. And it wasn't always easy, but that's how I got started. I just had it in my mind that I'm going to make more money having my own business and be able to work my own hours. And I found out that working in finance was a lot easier because I got to go home and be off work at 5. Whereas everyone knows with your own business, it's never a time off.
Yeah, it's a lot of risk and reward in construction. A lot of security when you're not a business owner, of knowing you're going home at a certain time and have a paycheck coming, but you don't have the worries that a business owner has, but you also don't get the rewards that a business owner has either. I understand there's a lot of risk and worry and everything that goes into being a business owner. Before we get too far into the episode, would one of y'all like to talk about NAWIC and the Women in Construction Week that's coming up, and give our audience a little background on what you all are involved with, as I understand you all are active in NAWIC?
I can give a little bit of information about NAWIC. I am the vice president of our local Roanoke Valley chapter, and we plan the Women in Construction Week is a week of events that we like to do to draw attention and to get others to see the different areas in which women contribute to the construction industry. And so we like to plan different events that week so we can get people out and to see some of the things that these women are doing. We have social hours. We're planning a tour for our local chapter of like the Roanoke Cement Company. And they're giving us a presentation about kind of what they do and how they create their products. And some really cool environmentally friendly changes that they're making in what they do. We also try to do a community project that week. So we're working with the Roanoke County Sheriff's Department, putting together some necessity bags that we're going to be giving to some of the homeless within our community. So we like to do things like that to kind of show that this is our community and we really want to be an asset to the community within our group. And then also at the same time to encourage and empower these women within the industry, because they're in such a male populated industry that often they don't have that support system that they need. And so we are very excited to be able to provide that. And I know Betty, she has an employee in her office that has joined the Richmond chapter of NAWIC as well. And they've been supporters of our conferences and our golf tournaments too. So it's a nice organization to kind of get out there. And like I said, just offer the support that they may not have otherwise.
And Betty or Blair, do either of y'all have anything you want to add?
I think
Carla pretty much hit it well.
Anything else I could say about that? Yes.
Yeah, I think the only distinction I would say is that it's really for women in all levels of construction, from, you know, from field crew up to CEO, C-suite kind of employee. So it's not it's for everyone, in every woman who might consider or is in the construction business.
Sounds like a really good peer group and mentorship program for all levels, like you said, Blair. allows you all to connect with each other, bounce things off each other, support each other, and also mentor the next generation coming up.
It is, and it also affords us a networking opportunity as well, since we have such a variety of people in like the different facets of the industry, whether they be an owner of a construction company, or they're out there shoveling asphalt, or we have marketing, we have some that are like construction attorneys, and just every area there. So it also allows an opportunity for networking and expanding your circle a bit.
I was going to say, that's the biggest thing about it, because I run in and meet these people that are woman owned. And, you know, so I try to use those companies as much as I can. And that's how I meet them, through these programs.
I understand. Okay. Well, that's a great background on NAWIC, and raise some awareness for the upcoming Women in Construction Week, March 2nd through the 8th, I believe, which will be about the time that this podcast drops. So it'll be perfect timing. let me go ahead and ask this question, and I can start with you, Blair. What are some of the biggest challenges that you faced as a woman entering the traditionally male-dominated field of construction?
You know, I have to say that I did not face a huge amount of challenge. You know, and it probably was because I had an architecture background for someone, so I had some familiarity with, you know, construction methods and means. And, you know, it just didn't even occur to me for there to be a problem. And so I think one of the things that I learned early in my career was not to fake it. You know, if you didn't know something, to just say, I don't know what we're talking about, or, you know, because if you did try to fake it, then you would lose credibility. But if you, you know, just tried hard and asked questions, and, you know, it seems so simple, but it people definitely have a lot more respect for you if you just kind of dig in and try to work harder rather than try to blow smoke, you know? And it didn't hurt that my last name matched the last name of the company I was working for. You know, that probably didn't hurt a bit. But, you know, I'm third generation. And, you know, it just really never came up. And I think it's because I started at the bottom. So if I had come in and tried to be, you know, a vice president right off the bat, I'm sure I would not have enjoyed very much success, you know, learning it from the bottom. You know.
How about you, Betty?
Well, at the very beginning, I don't think I had much problem because we were doing such small jobs. No one's really was going to give me a hard time because we were lawn care, you know, or, you know, cutting grass, anything at all like that. There wasn't much to it. But as I started to grow, and I had to go all these pre-bids and things like that, it wasn't as welcoming. And most of the times I was the only woman in there. And there were times, and I'm learning this, you know, there's all the finance part I felt like I had down pat, but I realized I had to learn, like Barbara, I had to learn the construction stuff. So I spent a lot of time taking classes, about 200 hours in safety. I wanted to make sure things were safe. So I learned. So once I started going to these things and people realized, I knew what I was talking about, you know, I wasn't just showing up. And if it was something like I didn't know, then I would say, hey, I haven't learned that yet, but I got an engineer or somebody that, you know, knows that. But I think when I started, just I had to realize I had to be tough, you know, because I had a couple incidents where people weren't quite as friendly and they would ask for, you know, but that was a small group. Yeah, but I think, like I said, when they started to notice that I knew what I was talking about, I wasn't just showing up out there, you know. I knew what equipment we would need. I knew how we had to do a takeoff. You know, I knew how many people we would need and what equipment. And people started to realize, I think, with me, that we have relationships with, that she knows her stuff and she's tough. And all my employees, pretty much, that's what they say. I'm the tough one there at the company. But, you know, there's a lot of risk. And I go to, and, you know, there were so many nights I never slept because I was worried about something, you know, or not knowing something. But that's kind of how I handled it.
Mm-hmm. Well, good deal. This question, next question is for all three of you. Is there a particular moment in your career that just solidified your passion for construction, that maybe that aha moment, or, you know, you talk about the nights of laying in bed, worrying, staying awake. But there's probably also moments of joy too, that just maybe solidified, this is what I want to do. And I'm glad I'm in the position I'm in.
I can go first if that's okay. I think with me, it was when I started feel like, and I was getting respect and people knew I knew what I was doing, but also when I started making money, that was really, you know, good to me, because you know, when you first start, I wasn't, you know, but once right. I started making money and I was learning more and more, I realized this was a good choice that I decided to do.
I have sort of a different take on that. I mean, I do love it every day. And what I like about it is it's different. There are no 2 days that are the same. You show up for work and you really have no idea. I mean, you think you've got an agenda for the day, but it will inevitably be different than what you have planned. I get a lot of satisfaction when we do nice work and we do a good job on things, or we, you know, we make a little money. That's always good. But I think more often than not, it's just the challenge of what new are we going to have to do? You know, what are we going to do today? And what are we going to do? What's going to come up, and how are we going to overcome it? You know, sitting at a desk as an architect, just drawing drawings all day was great and fun, but it just kind of is kind of old. Now I get, you know, you just truly have no idea what's going to land in your lap.
It's like a new adventure every day.
It really is. It's like 500 first dates, you know, because there's always an opportunity to learn something in this industry, and it will never cease to amaze you. Yeah.
A solidifying moment in my life was the period of time there, 2008-2009, was very volatile for the construction industry. And I witnessed a lot of things, and I saw a lot of people losing their businesses. I saw people laying off their employees, and even had someone die from suicide. And to see that I would be able to have an opportunity to help these people get through that was something that I really enjoyed, whether it be with their taxes and finding tax incentives for them to help with their cash flow, or with reporting and help them get bonded for their next job, or even in circumstances I've had to deal with people passing on and then being there to help their family move on. That was one thing that I really stuck with me from the very beginning, and being able to help those people and being there and showing them that you really do care for them when they're going through such a very trying time. And that really solidified for me that I was like, this is what I want to do. I really enjoy this industry, the people, and the opportunities that I have here.
Sounds very satisfying. And I think that's mm-hmm. that's probably a good theme with everyone finding their passion in a job is that they find it rewarding and satisfying and not just getting a job done. So what are some of the unique challenges that women face in the construction industry? And how do you think the construction industry can better support female professionals? You know, whether it's at the owner level, such as your all's selves, or even at the field level?
I think a lot of it is perception of what a male job is versus a female job. I have a girlfriend who has a company down in North Carolina, a paving company, and she decided to put together an all-girl crew, head to toe, all girls, you know, distributor, paver, back end, screed, the whole nine yards. And because sometimes, you know, women might think it would be, they might feel insecure going to work on a crew of all men or being the minority person on a crew or in a business with mostly men. And so she did that, and she doesn't have the all-girl crew today, but she did build a lot of opportunity for women in her construction company by doing that. And then people brought their friends, and it created opportunity that people didn't even see before as an opportunity. But yeah, I think most of it is just stigma of people saying that they, sorry, I'm fighting a cat on this end. and she's being very bad when she doesn't want to sit right in front of me. But a lot of it is just stigma and just knowing that there's an opportunity. Like, there's no reason that a woman couldn't do any of the things that we do in the paving business. I mean, other than maybe some of the mechanic jobs where it's really just some heavy, heavy things that you're lifting that might be more than a woman would want to do. But that being said, I've got a young woman who is interested in joining our heavy mechanic crew. So it's just if somebody's got the interest to do it, we've got the interest to show them.
Right.
Yes, I agree with that, you know, probably when I first started back then, it was hard to find women to come to construction. But now I've got women truck drivers. One of my employees, she is head of our underground utilities. She's a female. Another one, two are project managers. Most of the women that are, I would say they're beside me, you know, my right hand, left hand and stuff. They're women, except for my son. My son came to work for us in 2012 when he graduated from college. And it's been a great thing. He's been a big help because I will say as we grew and trying to find good people and people there that I could trust and help, you know, that's why I felt like I was working from morning to night, you know? But as I found these people, it has made it, much better for me. I can tell you, I can have time off now where until a couple, I guess the 2 or 3 years, I didn't have any time off. I was exhausted. And then always didn't know what was going to happen all the time. And this is kind of how we see it. If you have a little incident or something, bad quits or something, it was always in threes. So for me, it was. For our, I felt like it was going to be three things right in a row that I got to deal with. And so, you know, it was stuff to just worry about. You mm-hmm. know, what could happen? It's all coming back on me. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and I couldn't begin to pretend to be able to relate, but it feels like maybe some of the challenges or one of the bigger challenges is stigma, the stigma of women working in construction, you know, in the field, heavy equipment operator or whatever, and getting past that stigma and doing it. Not that, you know, there's ever a question of capability. It's just overcoming the stigma. Should I do this because nobody's done it before? And I guess being a pioneer in those sense.
Yeah, sometimes that's a challenge. And we discussed it at one of our recent conferences and how one of the best ways to overcome that is to just talk about it more, get it out there, make people aware of what's really out there. And that's one thing, because I had said it sometimes is a little aggravating when people say it's a male dominated industry. I prefer to say it is heavily male populated, because there are some women out there that are dominating this stuff every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And So, and just doing like that and just getting it out there and letting people know, I think that is one of the ways. And don't be afraid to be that pioneer and that first one, because you're going to set an example for lots of young women to coming up behind you. And this gives an opportunity that you can give them a little bit of a head start than you had. You know what I mean?
No, I totally see that. I see that all the time with my employees who bring, especially if their kids come to the office, they know that their daddy works for a woman. And, you know, some of them will say, well, I want to be like Blair when I get older because she tells all the boys what to do, you know? And so they just, you know, I think it's not having a lot of role models in that, in a leadership position, you know, who are females. They it's just don't, they aren't used to seeing it. But now I really feel like some of the kids that I have met through, I don't have children, but through my employees, you know, I really feel like it's probably made an impact on them that they didn't even think about it until, you know, their father or mother works for some, you know, in both cases, I have many second and third generation families working with us and, both, you know, both sexes. So it's taken on.
There's a lot more women in construction now, or own their own business or working, than there was when I started 98. I didn't see another one, tell you the truth,
You're
hardly.
exactly right, Betty. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree. That was about the time I came out of I started in public accounting was 98, and just the number of women owners, even women in the field, it's just climbed and climbed and climbed from the time I've started. So I totally agree with what you're saying.
No, it's definitely a change. I mean, I remember at association meetings being the only woman, or there was one other woman who I was, you know, a junior person in the industry, and she owned a company up in Northern Virginia. And I thought, you know, she was somebody I looked up to because she had a big company and in this room full of men. And then she sold her company, and then I was the only one for many years. And I was just looking around recently at a association meeting, and you know, it's not even, but we're gaining ground. We are definitely gaining ground.
Oh, yeah.
So, what are some of the biggest opportunities for women in construction right now?
Think there's a, to me, it's much easier now than it used to be for women to get into construction. You know, you have all these different associations and people helping, and I think women helping people, you know, each other. It wasn't like that before. I think
No.
people accept that a woman can be an owner and run the company, even though it's been known in the past to mostly be a male, you know. I think there's a lot of opportunities out there. I feel like you gotta make sure you know your stuff. And what Blair said earlier, don't go out there and fake it. You learn it, because that's the first thing. You gotta know what you're doing for your company. And I think there's a lot of opportunities. I also think there's a lot of what should I say, companies that where women owned can get, you know, a loan to help start with the company. Where back when I started, you know, the SBA said, oh, come get a loan to start your own business. And of course, I don't know exactly what it's like now, but I've seen people get it back then. You had to put some, I had to put one of my houses up for collateral and cash all my, you know, to be able to start the business. Because they didn't give you a loan for free. And I think those things are easier for women today, and just society realizing that, you know, yeah, women can do whatever men can do.
There's a fair amount more. I mean, in our business, we have truck driving. I mean, you can come in through the admin side, and you know, come up in on the, either like on the HR side or project management. Although that does, I think, require some field experience. Also on the QC side, we have our lab is run by a woman, and she's got a couple other women, you know, that are working for her, and she's mentoring. You know, I think that it's not typically the first thing that a woman thinks about, but if they do, you know, it really can be a very rewarding career that, you know, the only difference I would say is if you are, you know, the hours can be long, And that probably is one of the bigger impediments to the industry if you are in the, if you are a field worker, you know, and you've got childcare issues. But if you can get over that pretty large boulder, you know, there's the opportunity is there.
And I think the men too, what I see at my company, they accept the women better now. You know, I remember years ago when they're like, we don't want a woman out here telling us what to do and all this, but I don't have that problem now. I would love to have women operators, equipment operators. I've tried, but you know, I don't find them. But the one thing about our company that could be keeping that me from getting that is we have to my employees have to travel. And you know, that's hard. A mother has children. She can't go out of, you know, out of town. So that could be what some of that is, but I see a lot more all the time.
Yeah. So as leaders in the industry, how do you encourage and inspire the next generation of women to take on leadership roles in construction?
In my, I think it's mentoring in our company. We also take interns, you know, from college, where they come and work in the summer. We haven't had too many women do that. We've got a couple of young women right out of college who are between high school and college deciding if this is something they might want to consider. But it's just providing opportunity.
Yes, I agree.
Good deal. Here's a question. So if you could go back in time and give your younger self one piece of advice when starting out in construction, what would that be?
Tough one. I'm trying to
think. Well, I would have advice for myself, but it wouldn't necessarily be construct. It could be any industry, and that would be to enjoy the ride more and try not to. I used to think, oh, I'll be happy when I get, you know, this carrot, whatever this carrot is, and then I get to that level and I go, oh yeah, that carrot wasn't that tasty. It must be that next one. I'm gonna go get that next carrot and see how tasty that one is. And then I get that carrot, I'm like, yeah, that wasn't really the really tasty one I was looking for. And so I worked my ass off and I worked a lot, but I didn't necessarily enjoy the ride all that as much as I would like to if I was going to do it again now that I know that, you know, but that could be any career, anycareer.com. I mean, not necessarily construction. I just was, very driven and I wanted to please people, not necessarily putting myself first in that category, but, you know, and I thought I had to work harder than anybody else just to get to be respected. And, you know, there's probably some truth to that. If you're working in a field that's, you know, probably dominated either way, male or female. But that would be my self message would be to do that a little bit better.
That's excellent advice though. Like you said, for any profession or any journey that someone takes.
Because you're always looking. I mean, in my case, I was always looking for the next thing, you know, like, okay, when I get this under control or when it, and then when you realize after, you know, I guess the beauty of aging, right, is that you get to go through some highs and some lows. And I mean, you were talking about, Carlo, talking about 2009 when people were really having a hard time. In our business, it was 2011. We lost $1 million on a huge job on the Skyline Drive. And then there was no money in the highway department. And so we had to lay off half of our employees. We got down to around 60 employees. And, you know, I probably looked worried because I was worried because, you know, we were trying to make it through. And I went, you know, thankfully I had a really great banker who's now retired and is a friend. And she lent me money to get me through. But, you know, that was back in the day when you could call your banker and go, hey, I need to increase my line, you know, and it wasn't like an act of Congress or you didn't have to give me a sworn, you know, And she said, "Okay, she believed, you know, she believed it. It was a woman, ironically, and she believed in us and said, okay, sure." And my father lent me a little money, and I call him my loan shark because he won't let me pay him back. He's got a very high interest rate. And our deal was always, if the ink is black and he gets a paycheck, then we're good to go. But we had a big red year, and I was like, double or nothing. You know, we're going to try again. But yeah, that would be, you know, life lesson is just, you know, and just enjoy the ride, good or bad, when you're going through it.
I don't think with me, I was trying to think, what would I tell myself? I would probably have told myself, make sure you let people help you and work. Because I, you know, don't let the business kill you. Because I worked so much. I was so worried about money, you know, just to make sure we can pay our employees, we can, you know, have work. But I had to control everything, if that makes sense. I just, nope, that's mine. I got to make sure this is right, that's right. And then somewhere over the years, I got to where I hired people and I could trust them, and they were able to take stuff off of me. Where for years I did not, you know, I thought I had to check everything, every penny, every, you know what I mean? So if we needed something, someone had to come and ask me if they could order it, things like that. I think I'd have been that a little, you know, different with that.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Carla? You got anything you would tell your younger self?
Well, I don't know. I think that I might tell myself when I was younger to not be afraid to speak up. Because there's been circumstances to where I let myself just be the wallflower, the person in the back of the room, when I may have had something enlightening to say, or a good idea. I just let other people intimidate me a lot because I didn't want to seem like I was aggressive. And so just learning that it's okay to be assertive, and that's different than aggressive, and to make sure that you take your seat at the table, and you know what, go ahead and save a seat for your girlfriend too. You know, make sure everybody gets up to the table and feels comfortable and is okay with speaking up for themselves. And cause I did not do that as well. I do a little better now, especially if you ask people I work with.
Well, good deal. So we're about to wrap up, but I wanted to give everyone the opportunity for any final thoughts that they have, and not just from powerful women in construction, but you all are powerful people in construction. That, you know, no gender lines. It's, you all are very successful and have you've proven yourselves among all the players in the industry. And like I said, it goes beyond gender lines. You know, you all are empowered and powerful and successful business people. And I want you all to have the opportunity to give any final thoughts that you want to give to our audience in general, or with National Women in Construction Week coming up, or just whatever you have to say.
I gotta think about that, but I guess it would be to say, don't be afraid to, you know, stick up for yourself, stand up for yourself. Also remember how you started and what you can do to help other women get started. That to me is very important. There were none out there when I started my business, you know, to help. There really wasn't. And there were very frustrating days and days I cried and I had to figure this out, figure that out. And there wasn't even one for me to go to. So I think I would say that women businesses, remember that they're ones that are trying to start, or mentoring them, giving them advice and helping them. And that's something I've tried to do with some of my friends. And there's a lot of stuff out there to help you as a woman on now.
Yeah, it's like we mentioned the mentioned NAWIC and Women of Asphalt and other organizations to get involved with for peer groups and mentorship.
There's a lot of small business, with DOT work for sure. There's a lot of small business stuff. There's a lot of women-owned business stuff. I haven't qualified for that yet because I am running the company, but I don't own enough of it to qualify. But there's certainly a lot of opportunity if you are a woman-owned or majority woman-owned business.
Certainly is. Carla, any final thoughts?
I think it's just a great thing to say to get out there and get involved. There are organizations that are out there that provide the support and encouragement, whether it be NAWIC, the Women in Asphalt. There's a lot of groups out there. And a lot of times there's just LinkedIn groups, which I found out recently. And it's just a lot of people that have similar things going on within their work industry. And you get that. The mentorship, I think, is a great thing. And so if you have the opportunity to help mentor others within your line of work, to definitely do that. And WIC Week has its own website, if you go to wicweek.org, and they have all sorts of events throughout the country for that week to do and celebrate. And some of them are webinars and podcasts and things just like this to just kind of get everybody, bring them together for a really good purpose.
And another one is WBNC. That's helped me a lot. Get certifications. They have a lot of information out there. They have a lot of conferences, lunches, podcasts like this, women trying to help other women.
Awesome. It's all all about being there for each other.
It is.
So this has been a really great conversation. I'm glad that we were able to pull it together. It's hard to get one guest on here, much less three at one time. So I really appreciate the three of you, Blair, Betty, and Carla, for being on this episode and taking the time on a snowy day to sit in front of your computer for an hour or so. Again, thank you all very much, and hopefully we'll have you on again sometime soon. It's been a good discussion, really good discussion. So this wraps up another episode of Constructive Conversations. Make sure that you subscribe to our podcast on YouTube or anywhere that you get your podcasts from. Again, thanks Carla, Betty, and Blair. And until next time, keep on building, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.